Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. If you're just joining us, we're in a series, an Advent series. And if you're not familiar with the term Advent, Advent is a part of the church calendar. It's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And the term Advent, we discussed last week, it means the coming or the dawn of something new. And so last week we talked about the dawn of hope. And this week I want to talk to you about the dawn of peace, the dawn of peace. And so that's where we're headed this morning. But before we get into the scriptures, here's what I want to ask you a question. Do you have like traditions in your home around Christmas? Like I hope you have some Christmas traditions, and maybe you're just starting out your family, and I hope you begin new traditions in your home and in your household. But and so in my home, we have some Christmas traditions, and I'll let you in on one. And so husbands, how many of you feel the weight of having to buy your girl a present, right? Do you feel that at all? Like for me, it's a crushing weight. All right. My wife, Susan, I ask her, I'm like, hey, baby, what do you want for Christmas? Nothing. And I don't believe her. Okay. And so, but the good news in my household is I have, the present whisperer. All right. And her name is Cassie. It's my oldest daughter, Cassie. My youngest, she's not my go-to for gifts. Because she could care less about gifts. She likes to celebrate the Jerry Maguire Christmas, you know, just show me the money, right, and give her some money, and she's happy. But Cassie is one of these ones where gifts are real important, and you got to get the thought. And so she understands my wife, and so she's my present whisperer. In fact, Cassie's got a shirt that it says this. It says, "Presents speak louder than words." So she is my go-to for presents and for shopping for mom. And so we calendar a day, just Cassie and I, to go out to the mall and we're going to shop and hit it big for mom. And so we just make a full day of it. We're going to get up early. We're going to go to the original Pancake House. Have you been there? Praise Jesus. So I know exactly what my daughter's going to order. She's going to get the chocolate chip pancakes with whipped cream. I'm going to go with the apple pancake. It sounds healthy. It's basically a glorified apple pie. It's got about a week's worth of calories in it, but it's okay because we're going to the mall and I need all the energy I can get. And so my daughter and I, I remember this one year. So we're going to get mom a gift. And so we got up early and, man, we showered. And it was, I don't know why, but I was just extra Christmassy that year. You know what I'm talking about? Like some years where you just really feel that Christmas spirit. And get this, Cassie was the same way. And so there's all this anticipation as we are about to go to the original pancake and then to the mall. And so we were super Christmassy together. And I remember we get in the car on our way to original Pancake House. And as we get on, when I turn on the ignition, the Christmas station is on. And what song comes on? Mariah Carey's Baby Please Come Home. Are you kidding me? I look at Cassie. She looks at me. We're like, shut the front door. This is our favorite Christmas song. And we just start bopping and going like crazy, man. As we're just jamming to Mariah Carey. The snow's coming down, right? And so we got all that going on until suddenly the car in front of me locks up its brakes, squealing the tires. I lock up my brakes. My daughter screams, and out in the middle of the road runs a deer that the car in front of me just hammers, smokes this poor deer. And just in plain sight of my daughter and I is Rudolph dying a slow death. Can you say just buzzkill in a moment? All this Christmas joy, we had it, and it was gone in a second. And no matter how hard we try to get that Christmas spirit back, you can't unsee it. And so something that began so unbelievably magical, full of hope and joy, was shattered in an instant. And guess what? That's our story, and that's the Christmas story. So if you're familiar with your Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, it paints this beautiful picture of creation. And in Genesis 1 and 2, you remember that we meet the triune God, the God as Father, Son, and Spirit. And in the Godhead, there's perfect love. And out of the overflow of love, God begins to create on the canvas of the cosmos. And then it's in Genesis 1 and 2, there's this really fascinating rhythm to the creation story. It's this rhythm. It's like God created this and this and this, and it was good. And God created this, this, and this, and again, it was good. He does this seven times, seven being the number of perfection that God creates, and it's good. In fact, so glorious is the creation that, you know, the book of Job says this, as God was creating on the canvas of the cosmos, it says that the angels, they shouted for joy, right? And so it's this amazing, epic moment, and there's a word for it in the Hebrew language. It's the word shalom, shalom. It means nothing broken and nothing lacking. And deep in our heart, we know it's life as it should be. The shalom, or the peace of Almighty God, where there's nothing broken and nothing lacking. And the only problem with that is shalom, it only lasts two chapters in your Bible. Because then Genesis 3 comes along. And just like our morning between my daughter and I was shattered by striking that animal, so too in Genesis 3, that sin enters into the world and shatters the perfect shalom of God. And with it, now suddenly we know that life is not as it should be. Life is not as it should be. And if you pay attention to your heart, you realize, you know this is true at the deepest level. Like, have you ever had those days where, man, everything is right? I mean, everything is going well. Man, your bank account is good. Your relationship with your spouse or your children is good. And everything's going well. And then suddenly something bubbles up on the inside of you. It's this feeling, almost this sense of dread, that this can't be going on much longer. Have you ever had that feeling? No? Never mind then. Me neither. Of course we have. We felt that bubble up because we know that man, life right now, it's not as it should be. That shalom has been broken because of sin. But here is the promise of Christmas. The promise of Christmas is with the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the dawn of peace, or the dawn of shalom. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace," or Prince of Shalom. And so the gift of Christmas for you and I is the dawn, or the beginning, of a newfound peace, life as it should be. And so, if you pay attention to the world around you, you realize that creation right now is not as it should be. Creation is not as it should be. That something's been separated or severed because of sin. And in fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 22, that the Apostle Paul is going to say that the creation, that it groans. That there's a sense that creation is groaning and crying out for God to fix, bring back into shalom, life as it should be, restore it back to nature. And every time that there's a tsunami, an earthquake, or tornado, suddenly in that moment we realize, wow, life, the creation, is not how it should be. The great 18th century evangelist, his name is George Whitefield, he says this. He says that the wild animals fear growl and they shriek at humanity because they know that you have a quarrel with their maker. They know because humanity has sinned against God, rebelled against God, that suddenly there's been a fracture in the creative order and with nature. C.S. Lewis, he touches on it when he says this, that he says that a man and his dog closes the gap in the universe. Like what Lewis is trying to express is this moment when an animal trusts a human being. In that moment, we can feel it deep in our soul that gap, the separation in the universe, or the shalom, is shortened. And listen, because C.S. Lewis said a dog, for all my cat people out there, I'm going to throw you a bone here, and I'm going to remind you of the story of Christian the Lion. Do you remember this? Now, I would show you the video, but it's unbelievably grainy, and Facebook keeps tagging us, shutting us down when we show up for copyright reasons or whatever. So I'll tell you the story if you don't remember. Some 14 years ago, I mean, this is before like YouTube and stuff, where you could go viral like that. This was the story of Christian the Lion, and I believe we have a picture of Christian as just this young lion, and these two men from Australia, they rescue this lion from some place that was very unkept and unsafe, and so they rescue this lion and they keep it as their very own. And then there's this video that shows these men would take this young cub of a lion out and play with it, and it would chase the soccer ball, and it lived with them in their flat. And he actually got the name Christian because these two men were captivated by the Bible, and Christian the Lion was given permission to play at the local church. Okay, and so, but Christian, he began to grow and to grow and to grow until he outgrew the flat that these two men had, and he was going to be forced to be released out into the wild. And say so they flew Christian to Africa, and they released him on a nature wildlife preserve. And then get this, they returned back to Africa a year later against all the advice from nature experts. They said, hey, this lion's not going to remember you. It's going to be wild and it's going to be unsafe. But these two men were undeterred. And the video is so captivating. As these two men are walking through the preserve looking for Christian, suddenly up on a mountaintop, this giant lion pops up and begins to slowly approach these two men. And you're not sure what's going to happen until suddenly his pace picks up. And as he approaches these two men closer and closer, it looks like he's about to attack or pounce. Well, he does pounce. He pounces and then starts hugging these two men, licking their face, and they have this epic moment of celebration that Christian was reunited with the two people that raised him as a cub. And funny, as you watch this, I promise you, you'll begin to tear up. And there's something inside of your heart that when you see that, you say, that's life as it should be. The gap in the universe is somehow brought closer. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9, Isaiah touches on this. He says that in the new heaven, in the new earth, it says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, the earth will once again, the creation will once again be restored back to shalom, life as it should be. The second part is this, is that Christmas reminds us that relationships are not how they should be. Relationships, we don't have relational shalom yet, and yet the holidays will stir up all these deep emotions and these romantic ideas about shalom in your home, won't they? Listen, so I still can recall, this is like like way back in the day before our iPhones and we had like movie cameras on our phones, and this is before GoCams and this kind of thing. This is back in the day, we're talking VHS. When you had your home VHS system, it was like a ABC, you know, camera. And so I remember I set the tripod up, and it was going to be the first year we were going to videotape Christmas. And it was going to be amazing. Like you know how you kind of romanticize things in your head? And my two young daughters, they were going to suddenly have an English accent. Yes, Father. Thank you, Father. Right? and for whatever reason in my head, you know, my wife is going to have her hair all done and makeup, and she's going to be wearing high heels at 7:30 in the morning in our home. And none of that took place. But as I'm filming, I'm thinking this would be a great idea because my parents and Susan's parents will be able to see their grandchildren opening the presents that they got them. And so so the cameras were rolling, and my father had got them a present, and my daughters fire open their present from their grandfather. And what was it? It was like books or something like that. And I could just remember the reaction on my daughter's face. They're like, books? We don't want books, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, cut the camera. But the cameras kept rolling. And little backstory, my stepmother, every year got my wife Susan a turtleneck. For the record, if you like turtlenecks, God bless you. I'm sure you look amazing in it. My wife despises turtlenecks. And so, sure enough, she opens up this Christmas as the cameras are rolling. And what does she do? She pulls out this red turtleneck. And just the anger just falls upon her face. And I'm like, throw myself in front of the camera. I immediately removed the VH tape, and I burnt the evidence so it could never be held against me. But these Christmas shows, it's amazing how they touch something deep on the inside of us. It's as if our souls begin to remember what it was like back in Shalom, back in the Garden of Eden, when our relationships were at peace. And listen, when we watch these Christmas movies, they all smack of family and forgiveness, reconciliation. Movies like It's a Wonderful Life or The Family Man or goodness sakes, Home Alone. Listen, they're all what stories about what? About family, about relational shalom. And there's something inside of us. We go, yes, Lord, that's life as it should be. But have you ever noticed that is not life how it currently is, because we're not living in relational shalom. In fact, our movie, our family life at times could be more like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, if you've seen this, like Chevy Chase, kids are blowing up, going crazy. Or maybe your Christmas life or your relational life is more like Die Hard. It's debatable whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not, but it might feel like that in your home at times. And here's the great good news of Christmas. See, the first Christmas, it made peace possible. And the amazing news is the last Christmas, when Jesus comes again, he's going to make peace permanent. But right now, the Christmas reminds us of this, that peace or shalom is possible because of Christ. Let me show you this brief video of the possibility of peace, that Christmas reminds us that there's something more, something better out there. Let me show you this video, A Christmas Gift, back in 1914, World War I. See, Christmas reminds us that peace is possible. Shalom is possible. And so, so remember, sin becomes this anti-shalom, this anti-peace that's pumped in to the cosmos and to the universe. And so we found out that what? Sin separates us from the creation. It separates us from one another. But first and foremost, it separates us from Almighty God. And you and I were created for relationship, union with Almighty God. We just were. And apart from that union with God, you will never know peace. It's fascinating to me. Do you know that in the Amazon statistics, Amazon, the company, the delivery company that we're all in bondage to, that Amazon. So Amazon in their statistical data, what they found out that the most underlined verse in the Bible is this verse, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'll read it to you. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Get this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, apart from relationship with God, peace, it just becomes impossible. I'm reluctant to share this story with you, but I'm going to do it anyways. And so I can remember I was driving home from our church office here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And I was running late. And so I had to get on a conference call. And so I put my earbuds in and I'm driving down Route 10 and I realized I had to get gas. So I'm like, pull over at the gas station and I got my meeting going on. I get out my credit card and undo the window. And then I give the guy my credit card and I just mouth to him, "Fill it up, please," right? And so he does that, grabs it, and when I'm sitting waiting for my car to get filled up, and this meeting, it's starting to get heated. And I don't know about you, I'm not a very good multitasker, so I'm just dialed in, man, to this meeting. And so, I get my gas and I drive away, and as I drive 20 minutes to my gym, the meeting's finally closing up. We say amen at the end of our meeting. And so as I'm sitting in the parking lot of my local gym, I realize I'm like, hey, that guy didn't give me my credit card back at the gas station. And then I looked at my gas gauge and my gas gauge wasn't full. And I was like, and he didn't fill up my tank either. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did the car finish getting filled up? And then I realized in that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I drove away with the nozzle still in the tank. And so get this, man. And listen, it was true, because there would be actually a warrant or a letter from the police department telling me to contact them immediately. Come to find out, they thought that I had stolen the car and drove away. And so all that. So get this. So get this. Here's my point: is this that life apart from God is much like that. See, you were designed to be connected to God like that nozzle. But humanity says, no, thank you. And we drive away. And what happened? Our authority is pursuing us and our tank remains empty. And if there's anything Christmas should do for you, is to realize that nothing can fill the chasm of eternity in your soul. Like Ecclesiastes, it says this, that God has placed eternity in the heart of men. And listen, you can, advertisers during the holiday seasons, they're going to say, oh, just have this car or this outfit or this piece of jewelry, and it's going to fill the chasm of eternity in your heart, And let me ask you this question. How is that working out for you? Like, can you even tell me what you got last year for Christmas? You know, that thing that we were just so excited about. Now, I bet you couldn't even tell me what it is because listen, it's the chasm of eternity is too big. And so you and I were designed for connection with Almighty God. But Adam and Eve, they sin against God. And what happens? It says that they ran and they hid from God. And do you know that psychologists, they say this, that there's something called that we all walk in, and it's called this, the imposter syndrome. And here's what that means is that each and every one of us, that we walk in a low grade fear of being found out a fraud. of being found out that, hey, I'm not as smart as you think I am. Being found out that, hey, I'm not as nice as you think I am, or I'm not as smart as you think I am. And so there's this low-grade fear. And so what do? We hide. Much like Adam and Eve, we hid from humanity. We continue to do it today. We hide from people, and we hide from Almighty God. And as well, when you're separated from God, do you know, like, guilt and shame that's intrinsic in sinful humanity, we have nowhere to go with it. All we can do is attempt to bury it and jam it down, or just to hide and pretend like we got it all together. When the reality is that when you're connected with God, that he you can give it to Him, and God will make you clean in that moment. And so we have a place where we can go and receive redemption from our guilt and from our shame. And then finally, and this is just my observation, is that choosing to live life separate from God has made us unbelievably fragile as people. Did you know that? Like, have you ever noticed how unbelievably fragile people are today? See, sin is the de-godding of God. You're saying, hey, God, I don't want you. I'll be my own God. And how's that working out for you? Like, come on, we've all seen the movie Bruce Almighty, right? Where Bruce Nolan, played by Jim Carrey, is like, God, you're not doing a good job. I got this. And God, Morgan Freeman, calls him on his bluff. And do you remember what happened? It was fun for a minute until the weight of the world came crashing down on Bruce Nolan, and everything started coming undone in his world and in the world in general. And he just would say, God, you do a great job of being God. And so sin is the de-godding of God. And when you take on the weight, the crushing weight of having to be your own God, you're unbelievably fragile. And that's why I believe like everyone has to walk around on pins and needles today, because if someone doesn't fully affirm or agree to something that you say, suddenly it becomes just the straw that broke the camel's back. Boom! And something that's small and should be insignificant becomes threatening to one's personhood. And so now I feel like we're living today like an episode of The Family Feud, you know, with Steve Harvey. You know, like someone will say something ridiculous, and what do they have to do? They have to go, good answer, good answer, good answer. And inside you can see Steve Harvey's going, that is a dumb answer, right? And I feel like that's the way it is today. Why? Because we've said, no, thank you, God. I'll be my own God. And it's a crushing, crushing weight. Jesus wants to take that weight off of us. He says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Listen, my gas tank story, you know what? I got in my car. I drove back to the gas station. The authorities were waiting for me there. I got out of my car. I told them the story. We all cracked up. And then I got my credit card back. I proceeded to fill up my gas tank, right? And so all of that happened because I made a decision, I'm going to turn around and go back. And you know, that's a biblical idea. It's the idea to repent. It means to change your mind or to turn around. I love the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, there's this idea. It means to return home. And that is the offer of Christmas. That some 2,000 years ago, it was a silent night in a little town of Bethlehem, until suddenly the silence was shattered with the scream of a baby at night. And that scream was the cry and the offer to come home. And with the cry of that baby, the skies cracked open. And it says that the angels, they too began to cry out this message in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, or shalom. See, Christmas offers us the dawn of peace. Merry Christmas, Every Nation, New Jersey. So listen, I'm going to pray for us here this morning. And I want to pray for those of you that you've not experienced the peace that Jesus offers. Like you've tried to be your own God, And Jesus is offering you. He says, I'll come in. He says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. And so if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and to take the weight of the burden of the world off you and allow him to carry it for you, I want to pray that prayer for you. And so, Father, I pray for those, Lord, that they don't know peace with you yet. God, I pray this morning, may this be the morning, God, where they declare, they bow their knee to you, Jesus, and they said, I'm exhausted trying to do it on my own. Jesus, come in, be my Savior, and be my Lord, in your name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I pray you put amen in the chat, or just shout it out loud, amen. It means so be it. And now I want to pray for you as well, that maybe some of you do know Jesus, but you have yet to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you, that you feel weighted down. And I want to tell you that man, we can go to God and we can turn our care into prayer. And so, Lord, I pray right now for those just carrying a burden you haven't called them to carry. Lord, I pray, Lord, that every time we feel the weight of care and concern, that, Lord, that care, Lord, you would teach us to turn it into prayer and to look upward. And, Lord, as we give it to you, may our burdens be light and easy. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, every nation, our sermon's over with, but we're not quite finished yet. I want to remind you that if you need further prayer, that you can go to our virtual prayer ministry that at 11 a.m. each and every Sunday. I think that the virtual prayer number is coming up, and you can speak to a pastor, a staff member, or you can meet with them for prayer or counsel, or if you have questions about the church. And so that's our virtual Zoom ministry. And then lastly, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your offering. A tithe simply means a tenth. And we firmly believe that 10% of everything that comes in, that it belongs to God, and we give it back to him. But as he does, he's faithful to care for us. And then the offering is anything we give over and above the 10%. And I want to remind you that there's an exciting opportunity that you can give an offering to our Give Life campaign that's taking place. We're taking up this special offering through the months of December and January, and you can make a difference in the world this holiday season. And so there's three ways to give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's an unbelievably convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your tithe or offering right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Listen, every nation, God loves you. I think you're pretty amazing too, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.